Now, this sounds like a good idea. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. Along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Well, happy hump day to you.
And to you as well.
Yet another cold day here in Westerville, Ohio. I don't know how cold it is down there. It's cold here.
Well, you know, that's what you get for living in central Ohio in January. It gets very cold very quickly. But thankfully, help's on the way. It'll be March soon and springtime, and everybody will be feeling much better about things once we get through the depths of winter. One of the things that we've been talking about on this program for a while now has stemmed from the debate, the conversation, the chatter, if you will, that is going on surrounding the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. As we know, it's created an intense discussion and debate over the role of guns in our society. It's also created quite a bit of stir about federal governmental involvement, the issue of gun-free zones, the issue of weapons registration and or prohibitions, magazine sizes, and whether or not we should deport certain aliens who want to have the United States be vulnerable. But enough of Piers Morgan. We haven't really talked about some really interesting themes that have been taking place locally as a response, and Chuck, I would have to argue, probably a constitutionally faithful response to the public concern over the safety of children in schools and how we go about dealing with that. Now, as we've talked on this program before, there have been some ideas. Even Ohio's Attorney General Mike DeWine has proposed training personnel in Ohio schools in the same way they train the law enforcement through the Attorney General's office in gun handling. Again, I think it's a fairly decent idea, except that, of course, with Attorney General DeWine qualifications in it, you would actually have had to have already served in either the military or in law enforcement in order to qualify to do that. And I'm not sure how many ex-military, ex-law enforcement we have working in each of the public schools in the state of Ohio. However, one public official has come up with what I think is a nifty idea, Charles.
Well, Barry, the fact is that, A, this idea that it has to be ex-military or ex-police, why the cult of expert? Why does it have to be ex-military or ex-police? Frankly, they're just as susceptible to some of the problems they claim that the public at large is susceptible to, if not more so, because they've been under more stress than Joe Average. And very often, Joe Average in the community can shoot at least as well as a police officer or a military man. Frankly, I think you probably can. I probably can. There are any number of us out here who have been shooting guns. I'm 55 years old. I got my first gun when I was 8, and I have been a very good shot ever since. My eyesight's maybe a little less than it used to be, but I can still see plenty, and I can see well enough to hit targets. I'm not that cockeyed yet. So I don't understand this idea that it has to be ex-military or ex-police or they can't be eligible to be a guard in a school. It just doesn't make any sense to me. That's like saying someone has to be an ex-truck driver to be eligible to drive a cab. Well, I'm sorry, but anybody should be eligible to take the training for a commercial driver's license and be able to drive a cab. Same thing, I can understand if someone wanted me to be certified and tested and made sure that I have a good mental outlook before they would let me carry a gun into school. Not a problem here. I would be more than happy if I was so inclined to go stand guard in a school, to go take the psychological battery of tests, and go take the shooting exam. No problem. But this idea that somehow we're going to accrue this backlog of eligible people who are eligible by reference to the fact that they were once a police officer or in the military, I'm not impressed. And we're sitting here looking at an article about Joe Arpaio, the sheriff down in Maricopa County, Arizona. And frankly, I think he's got the right idea.
Yeah, I think he does too, Chuck, because sheriff understands the Constitution. He also understands the power of the office of sheriff. Sheriff is the highest official of any sort in each county. That means that if the feds come in and try to say, well, we're going to take over this investigation, the sheriff can say, not in my county, you're not. You guys just sit over there in those chairs while we do this investigation. And the feds really don't have anything that they can do about that. So what Sheriff Joe Arpaio has decided to do in Maricopa County in the schools where he has sole jurisdiction, the sheriff's office has sole jurisdiction, is to have a posse guard the schools. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I use the word posse, you may think of a bunch of guys and chaps on horseback shooting six shooters. No. What I mean by the kind of posse that Sheriff Joe Arpaio is talking about are law-abiding citizens who live in the county, whom he has trained and mobilized, because as he says it, quote, I have the authority to mobilize private citizens and fight crime in this county, unquote. And he is doing that, and he's been doing this for years. These folks actually work around the holidays providing security around the shopping malls in the county. And he says, you know what? There isn't any reason why we shouldn't deploy and have these guys outside the schools. Now, he's not talking about having them inside walking the halls and possibly disrupting the flow of education because there's somebody who's unfamiliar inside the school. He's talking about them being out on the perimeter of the school grounds and keeping watch. And then if something happens, having the ability and being they've been trained to actually know how to handle a situation if one was developed in those schools. Now, the schools he has are like there's like four or five different schools or school district areas that he's got in his county. So he's taking it right to the people. The sheriff's office and the uniformed deputies that there have badges, we can't be everywhere. But law-abiding citizens who are willing to come and be part of the posse can be there because they can schedule them to be at certain schools at certain times. I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm okay with the school officials or the school employees being able to carry on their persons while on duty in the school, but I'm also good with this idea about having citizen posses who are going to keep watch over these places to keep them from being victim-rich zones. Chuck?
Well, I'm reading here a lot what Arpaio wants to do. He's basically saying that if you have an armed posse member in the school, you don't have a need for an armed teacher. I'm not sure I agree with that.
No, I don't either, and that's the reason why I said what I said.
The idea should be that if a teacher feels so inclined, and they should be able to arm themselves to defend themselves inside a school, as long as they have the, I would say they should have the permission of the school administration, because let's face it, that is not private property there. It is a public building, and it is under the administration of a school administrator. Now, let's not kid ourselves, Barry. How many school administrators are pro-gun?
Very few that I know of.
Learned few. So, basically, you've got a catch-22 here. So, Arpaio is kind of working around that problem by saying, okay, we'll send out posse members. It's interesting that in Arizona, they continue to use posses. If you've ever looked at an Arizona map and looked at the size of the counties and then looked at the size of the state of Arizona, Arizona's huge.
It is. It's a very big state.
It's a huge state, and I forget how many counties they have. It's a very small number, and they are very large counties. I mean, very, very large counties. So this idea of using a posse, which is essentially a volunteer force. It's a volunteer force who has gone through a training program in order to act as a sheriff's posse. In a county that has maybe 1,000 square miles in it, I have no idea, maybe 5,000 square miles. I really don't know how big some of their counties are square mile wise. I know they're huge. Some of them consisting of, in many cases, like 1/8 of the state, that kind of thing. Well, it's much easier to put a posse out there in different parts of the county who just maybe get in their car and drive around and make sure everything's A-okay than having umpteen thousand deputies out patrolling thousands and thousands and thousands of miles of highway in that county. It makes perfect sense. You have people out there who are essentially deputized who you don't have to pay, who do it out of a sense of civic responsibility. And let's not kid ourselves. Some people just like being saying, hey, I'm a member of the Maricopa County Posse.
Right, which, according to this article, is 3,000 citizens strong.
Yeah, exactly. It's a large force. So there are plenty of people, and they're talking about, I believe, that a number of places, 50 grade middle and high schools in the county. Well, 3,000 people to cover 50 schools. Some of those people aren't going to be interested in doing that, but there will be several who are. Again, Barry, great idea. And they don't have to be inside the school. They're on the periphery. They're not disrupting anything, but they're available if something comes up. Like if a kid shows up with an AR-15, a Bushmaster, and opens fire inside the school. Because as we pointed out over the last 2 weeks, when these crazed madmen are confronted with someone who's armed and knows how to use a gun and is getting ready to draw down on them, what do? They kill themselves. The slaughter stops. And that's what we need to think in terms of.
Absolutely.
Just, and converting the United States into a giant gun-free zone where basically tyrannical power will be wielded by either the criminals, as it was in Chicago in the 20s, as it's happening in Britain and Australia right now, who have recently banned guns and are now finding out that banning guns only means that only criminals have guns. As my dad had on a bumper sticker on his car in the 1970s, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. That's what Britain is finding out. That's what Australia is finding out. That's what all the nations that ban guns are finding out. Only criminals have guns in places where guns are outlawed. And the reason is, if they don't care, Barry, about robbing you, killing you, and raping you, they really don't care about the gun laws. And this is a fact that escapes people who really think gun-free zones have made things safer. Barry, where has virtually every mass murder occurred in the last 20 years?
In a gun-free zone.
In a gun-free zone. So we're going to fix it by making the entire country a gun-free zone? Come on. I mean, just the wildest kind of nonsensical thinking. So Arpaio's right, and he understands the problem, that teachers aren't anytime soon going to be allowed to carry concealed carry in a classroom. And I really think, Barry, that other county sheriffs, shouldn't in Ohio, county sheriffs be looking to arm and train a posse to do this very job?
I believe that they should. Now, what is happening, Charles, I'm glad you mentioned that, is that private organization, Buckeye Firearms, we've talked about them on this program before, has opened up and offered 24 spots to teachers and school workers, school employees, to set in to take gun training, and they receive for these 24 seats 450 applications from school employees and teachers. Now, Chuck, that tells me that a lot of those teachers out there who want to understand and protect not only themselves, but the students that they're working with, and they're willing to do this. Now, but if you take it and you look at this, okay, you can only train 24 at a time. Either you're going to have, we have 612 school districts and over, I believe, 3,000 school buildings in the state of Ohio. It's going to take you an awfully long time to train even one person per school building across the state at 24 at a clip. And even if you did an intensive, like you do with a concealed carry, if you do an intensive 12-hour day one day, you're going to take an awfully long time in order to make sure that at least there's at least one qualified person with a firearm inside the school building. Now, with Sheriff Arpaio's posse, I did a little math, Chuck. With 3,000 citizen posse members and 50 school buildings that he think that are solely within the jurisdiction of the county sheriff's office in those school districts, he could easily put 12 people per day, 5 days a week, at each school building, okay? And no person would have to work more than one day a week. Now, would you rather have one person inside the school building, and you might get your school building covered, oh, in 6 months to a year, or would you rather have a dozen who are outside on the perimeter, who are also trained and who are members of a citizens group, who are watching the grounds and making sure that nobody's getting in like Adam Lanza did as he walked right up and through the security of the school to create mayhem?
Well, the answer to that is obvious, Barry. Now, think about in these terms, though, this 24 person at a time training rate. Think about this. Break that down into 88 counties and put it in the hands of the sheriff, and what do you got?
You got schools being covered before the end of the semester.
You bet you do, because there's no reason. The state legislature could set the criteria for who would be eligible for the training program tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow. Tomorrow would be a little tough. But by the end of the week, if they were in session, which they won't be. But the fact is, the first week in session, they could have that law out and Governor Kasich could sign it.
Oh, sure.
There's really no reason why it couldn't be done. And maybe that's something we should tell folks to get in contact with their state representative about.
Absolutely. Maybe we should put a petition up on our website at principalpolicy.com.
Well, you know what? I have the software to do that.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get together and talk about that. Folks, why don't you send us your suggestions? Go out to www.principalpolicy.com, and we would like to hear your suggestions on this type of petition. Just let us know what you think. www.principledpolicy.com. You can find a number of places to comment on the Contact Us page. There you can send Barry or I an email. And that being said, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.